Today, there's two things that are true on Father's Day. One is, in the majority of churches in America, you get, Father's Day sermons being preached that are just browbeating the men, letting them know that they suck and need to do better. This is true. The second thing that is true is that here at Refiner's Church, Pastor Gary does not, like he said, do Hallmark messages. Specifically with Mother's Day and Father's Day. But today, the word that God is bringing, this one is for not only the fathers. Yes, this is Father's Day, but this is also, not only for the fathers and husbands, but for the mothers and wives. And it's about the legacy of the father, the standard. There is so much going on in this world, so much confusion and so much attack on the nuclear family. That this is something that, I'm not saying that by me bringing this, it's not saying at all that I believe that anybody is succumbing to it here in our church. But it's to open your eyes to see what the enemy is doing so that not only you can be warded against it and make sure that not even the smallest of things has come in, but also so that those who are listening online or even people that you meet, you can help minister to them on what it really means. So we're going to get started. Ephesians 5:25-30. And as part of this, we're going to start with the men. And, got it up there? All right. Now I'm in the ESV. I get it. Pastor Gary does the King James Version. I do ESV. They're quite close. But it says starting in verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, husbands love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, when giving this to Pastor, at the end of doing this study, I let it be known in sending it to him that I am actually wholly inadequate to bringing this message. And the reason is for that, those of you who know, Nolan, why are you bringing this word? Your marriage is dead, ruins, whatever. That is true. But I am not coming at this from a position of somebody who has done this successfully. I'm coming this as somebody who has seen what happens when you don't. And the truth is guys, it is our men, it is our responsibility, our honor, and our privilege to make sure our wives are nourished and cherished and nourished in the word. You are the spiritual head of your family. Period. End of story. Full stop. You need to be making sure that your wives are not only hearing the word, reading the word, but are implementing it properly and are being fed. Because if they are not getting what they need, then the home will no longer be a home. It will be a battleground. Plain and simple. You have to cherish her. Notice it said, as Christ does so to the church. Yes, he does it to us. But husbands, fathers, it is our responsibility to do this. I can't say that in my marriage, if me doing that would have changed anything, because I have no control over what my wife decided to do. I have no control over that. But I do think if I'd have been doing this to begin with, there's a possibility that God could have changed some things, but I was disobedient. I'm as at much fault for my marriage ending as my ex is. She may have done the physical things that tore it apart, but because I wasn't holding this standard, I was destroying the spiritual aspect of this. So I am imploring you husbands, you must be making sure that the spiritual condition of your wife is strong. I'm imploring you guys. I will beat it down. Look, guys, I've said it in men's when I'm doing the teachings. We as men suck. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. And we might as well just come out and say it that we suck. But with Christ and to lining up with his word, then we can be the men that God has called us to be. So like I said, take the time. I realize that we work. I know at one point I was working 80 hours a week, two full-time jobs. It's hard to sit there and be the spiritual head of your family. You've got to take the time. I realize we want to do our own thing. We want to play video games. We want to play board games. We want to go outside and shoot things. We want to go to the range and shoot things. We want to have fun and enjoy life after work to calm down. But here's the thing. You'll never have the peace. You'll never have the sanctuary that your home can be if you're not making sure that your wives are nourished in the word, washed in the word. It is, if you sit out in your driveway going, oh God, I gotta go in here again for 15, 20 minutes because you don't want to go into the battleground, you're the one that designed the battleground. And I'm not trying to browbeat men. I really am not. I'm making a very real observation and fact. We are the ones that control whether or not our house is a home or it's a battleground. Our wives make it into a home with everything that we give them. But if we don't first nourish, make sure they're nourished in the word, it's never going to happen no matter how much they try. Second thing, fathers, we're going to go to Colossians, Colossians 3:21. Got that up there? Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Now, a lot of people like to take this one and be like, don't make your kids mad. That's, kids going to get mad. You tell them no, they're going to get mad. This has to do with consistency. If you are inconsistent in your rules and inconsistent in your punishments or your disciplines, they will become discouraged. It has everything to do with consistency. If when they're running, we got, you know, rule in the church, don't run in the church. Just a for instance, don't run in the church. But one time you say something to them and you're like, hey, don't run. But the next time you're yelling at them, freaking out, flipping out, consistency, or you just ignore it like it's not been happening. That's inconsistency. There's something that I love. Pop. When I lived in Pop and Irene's house for 3 months, he had this thing. I was bad at it. I would leave lights on. He had this thing where he would just come up behind you and he'd not pull it, not even pull it, just shake your earlobe. Dumbest thing ever. About the fifth time he did it, all you have to do is touch my ear and I'd be like, oh, I left the light on. And go turn the light off. It's about consistency. The punishment needs to fit the crime and you need to be consistent. If you're going to make a big deal about it once, you make a big deal about it every time. If you're going to keep it as a minimum thing one time, you keep it as a minimum thing every time. Because when you're wishy-washy on your disciplines and one time you're heavy-handed, the next time you're not, you're light-handed or not doing anything at all, your kids will become discouraged, frustrated, and flip out. It's going to happen. And again, that destroys the peace in the house. So I implore you guys, whatever God has told you to make the rules in your house, whatever disciplines that he has given you. I mean, there were some that I thought were the right thing to do and others weren't. My second oldest daughter used to be known for temper tantrums, alligator tear temper tantrums over the dumbest things. And what's the one thing when it came to alligator tears, all of us older, you know, Gen X, millennials used to hear, if you're going to cry, I'll give you something to cry about. I can attest that that did not work with Madison. She get whooped. I spank her bottom all the time and it just never worked. One time I'm like, God, I'm done. I can't do this. I don't know what to do. And God was like, tell her to go in the corner. She's got all the power. I'm like, she's got all the power. She ain't got no power. I'm the dad. Screw this. No. And he's like, no. Tell her that when she's done, she can come out. And that's what I did. First time it took 45 minutes. And I'm petty. So I'm sitting there on the TV with it real loud going, I can't hear you! while she's freaking out and crying in the corner. But after 45 minutes, it was done. She came back, said she stopped because her legs hurt. But every day after that, if she had alligator tears, I'd go to the corner. By the time she'd get to the corner, she'd be like, I'm done. It was over. God knows our kids. He designed them. Sorry, he didn't print you out an owner's manual. You don't get to read it, but you can ask him for advice. He will give it to you. But be consistent when it comes to your kids. Put your foot down when you have to. Be gentle when you have to, but be consistent. That way your kids aren't discouraged. They have confidence, like we were singing in the song earlier. They have confidence that they know the rules, they know their boundaries, and they can live within them. They're still going to buck them. Don't get it twisted. Just because they know them and they're good with them doesn't mean they ain't going to buck them. They will. But that's why you can't let your guard be down, and you got to be consistent. Now I'm going to talk about the leadership aspect of when it comes to being men in the house. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Big thing here. Again, every moment of your day, you are supposed to be speaking on the things that God has commanded and written on your hearts. Not just when you feel like it. Not just when you're calm and everything's relaxed. You should be teaching them diligently to your kids. That's number one. That's the most important part of it. But all throughout the day, you should be talking about the greatness of God. Everything that God has taught you. And you may think, oh, what? There's a lot of other things. Believe me, God is in everything. He's in the politics. You want to talk about politics, bring God up in it and what he says about politics. You want to talk about, fun things, recreation. You could talk about the aspects of God that bring in joy and happiness. Every aspect of God can be a part of every aspect of day. And we are the ones that are supposed to be speaking about it always. We shouldn't be ho-humming. Yeah, life sucks. Okay, things get hard. Sadness happens. Though you're sad now, joy comes in the morning. You should be talking, even in that sadness, you should be talking about what God is, the aspects of God. Men, God should never stop coming out of your mouth. Never. Because if you for a second start talking about other things, we've said it before, it says it in scripture, we have the power of life and death, we have the power to create and destroy with our mouths, with our tongues. If we are not speaking about God at all times, then you have the aspect of speaking other things into your life. Personally, I'd rather praise God, or even if I'm mad, give it to God, talk to him about it. Look, I've been known to throw a wrench or a hammer or want to smash a computer at a time. Look, it's not easy. I get it. But we have to. For our family's sake, for our own mental state, for our wives' nourishment, for every aspect of our lives as men, not just as husbands and wives, but even more so as fathers and husbands, we must be keeping God on our lips at all times. And every subject known to man, God can be in the center of it. You just got to learn to get rid of the stinking thinking and flip the switch. And I don't want to spend too much time just bashing on men. I don't. But the reason why I'm saying all this stuff is that because Hollywood, with the sitcoms, look back, 60s and 70s, you had strong men. Look back at the 60s and 70s. You had strong men in sitcoms. They were brash, opinionated. But still, they were the heads of their households. And they ran it sometimes with an iron fist. And then look into the 80s and 90s. It went from that to goofy, idiot, I'm just a guy, dad. They have been teaching kids this stuff. You watch any Disney movie now, either the father is not even in the movie or he never existed. Erasing the father. This is why it is so important. And I don't mean to browbeat you guys. I'm not. I'm encouraging you. Speak this stuff. Live this stuff. Nourish your wives. be consistent with your kids and always keep God on your lips, because then you can live against that lie of the I'm just a guy dad, that the mom rules the house, the kids can walk all over him because he's the goofy I'm just a guy. It's that important. We have to live against that concept. But it's not just on the guys. When it comes to the nuclear family, there is the wives as well. So women, ladies, go to 1 Peter 3:1. But this one's to you, ladies. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Men, you need to lead, and you need to lead your houses. Women, you need to not fall into the tropes that Hollywood is trying to say, and get out of the way. Step to the side of your husband where you're supposed to be. Work together. Stop trying to lead him. It's his job to lead. But it says to, does it say to obey here in this scripture? Just when he's obeying God's word. This is obey your husbands no matter what. There's going to be disagreements. You're supposed to work together. You're supposed to be, you're supposed to talk things out and make decisions together. But sometimes there's got to be a final decision. We got to make one. We don't agree. Here's what we're doing. Even if, again, guys, we suck, we're going to screw up, we're going to make wrong decisions. We have a tendency that we are fixers, men are fixers. When we see a problem, we fix it. Do we always ask God how we should fix it? We go, no, I know how to fix it, I'm going to go do it. And we may know how to fix it from the past ways we fixed it, but you don't know if God wants to do it differently this time. And sometimes we jump to things, we jump to conclusions, and we start doing things. Wives, you're still supposed to obey. And be with us on the side and support us. And not throw it in our faces when we do have to come back and repent and say, you know what, I should have done it this way. No slap in the I told you so's. Because that will breed bitterness. That will breed distrust. Because every time he goes to make a decision, he won't be able to make it because he's afraid that he's going to be wrong, which is then going to upset you, which is going to, it will happen. And again, I don't think that anybody specifically here at Refiners Church is doing that. It is, I'm asking you at any point just to look through things. And if there is just a hint of where it happens, a tiny speck, that God show it to you and take it out. So that we can be the opposite of what the world is. You know, 50% of all marriages, even in the church, fail. Again, it's, sometimes, a lot of the time, because men suck. Okay? But it's not always. We should want to change that number. At least here in this house, or anybody else that can hear the sound of my voice, whether on the internet or not, we should want to change that number. So that is why it is important that women, you need to obey your husbands, even when he may not be hearing everything that God's saying. There may be a part you hear and he doesn't want to hear it from you, or he didn't ask. Just patiently wait, pray. And when opportunity comes in love, bring it. Also, I want to go to Proverbs 31, 10 through 12. Everybody loves to do Proverbs 31 for what is to be the Proverbs 31 woman. But I'm curious if you guys caught this one part. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, starting at verse 10. An excellent wife who can find. She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. The heart of her husband trusts in her. The hardest thing for a man to do, ladies, if you didn't know this, is to open up our hearts. And when we do, hopefully we're doing it with somebody who actually is trustworthy of it. But when we do, and then it is thrown back at us as a weakness to be used against us, to destroy us, to bring us down, to cut us down, that is when separation, bitterness, anger, and absolute canyon is put between you and your husband. You need, when we open up, ladies, when men open up to women that we love, when we open up, you and the home are supposed to be where we can open up our hearts, where we can show you where we're weakest. Now, granted, that also goes back to what I said earlier. Men, it's because of you whether or not your house is a sanctuary or a battleground. But if your house is a sanctuary, we should be able to bring our hearts to you. And you should be able to guide it. You should be able to comfort it and protect it. It is our job to protect you amongst everything else that can come into the house. We get beat up, kicked down. Our shoulders, yeah, they're broad, but they still get tired sometimes. We get tore down. And we need to be able to trust that our wives have got our hearts. We got their backs. We got their fronts. We got all of you. We got all of you that we protect. We just need you to protect our hearts. And again, I will keep saying this. I don't think that anybody here at Streams is using that against their husbands. But again, check in your hearts. Ask God to show if there's ever been a time that it has happened so that it can be plucked out, repented of, and there's no schism. Again, like I said, my marriage went to crap. And I'm speaking from a point of I've seen what happens when these things are not implemented. And I do not want to see any person here or any person I know to see the relationships, their houses, their sanctuary destroyed. I say it with a soft heart, and I say it with a lot of knowing what it feels like to go through that pain and still live with it sometimes. To know what it's like to see my kids go through it. I wish it on nobody and on nobody's kids. I don't care if you're my worst enemy or not. I don't wish it on you. So please, ladies, guard your men's heart. Guard it. And I'm telling you, you guard his heart and you'd be surprised what hellfire he will go through to protect you and everything else that is in the house. Just with the fact of you protecting his heart, because he knows you have his heart. I'm not a long-winded person. This is probably going to end up being really, really short. And it's just because I'm a very blunt individual. I am seriously encouraging you guys, nuclear families, you have to stand strong against what the world is doing because they're doing everything in their power. If they can't keep you from getting married and if they can't keep you from seeking God, they'll put something else in your way. If they can't keep you from getting married to somebody that God actually wants you married to, the enemy will do things. This world will do things to rip you apart and destroy you. And then if they can't keep you from having kids because they love to have these parents that don't have kids, they can't keep you from having kids by convincing you to do abortion, then they'll go after them in other ways. And all of it stems from us not being in line with God, not doing what God has told us as men and women conjoined together, intertwined in a three-cord rope with Christ. If he is not the center, no marriage can, as far as I'm concerned, if he's not in it, it's not a marriage at all. Because marriage was a God institution, not a government institution. They get no right to say what a marriage is. It's just God gets everything to say what a marriage is. And a marriage is between one man and one woman, and they are supposed to, as long as they are able to be fruitful and multiply. Some women can't. I don't hold that against you. There's other ways. Just because you don't have your own physical kids doesn't mean you don't have spiritual daughters who need you just as much as any small child would. And that is the other big takeaway of this. Your families not only need to see this, other men, young men that don't know Christ or do know Christ but don't have a real male role model, it is our job as men to teach them and raise them. Same for the women. If there are ladies out there that don't have real godly mothers, don't have somebody to lift them up and build them up and teach them, it is your responsibility to raise them up. And if you're not doing it first, your words are hollow, your teachings are without merit. Because again, If you don't do it yourselves, the destruction that will lay behind you is unimaginable. But the only way to stand against this, you could preach from the corners all you want. The world doesn't want to hear preachings. They want to see it. Because when they see it, then they'll listen. There's a saying, I don't know who said it. I've been saying it for years. Somebody brought it up to me years ago. I have no idea where the original quote comes from. But, you know, in all things, witness of God. But only if you must speak. That's what it means to live this out. Because people will see it. People will know when they come into your house, there's a peace. This is a sanctuary. They will know it. They won't want to leave. We call it the vortex of time when we go over to Irene's. Because the peace is there. The love is there. You don't want to leave. You go, I'm just going in for 5 minutes. And then 4 hours later, you come out and go, man, I'm hungry. It happens over at Gary and Jess too. Pastor Gary and Jess is it too. That is the way all of our homes should be. But it's not because we want to make it flowy or whatever. It just happens naturally when husbands and wives are doing their jobs, protecting one another, and living the way God told us to. That will just happen naturally. People will know it, and they will get sucked into it. They will also know it, and those who don't have it, because misery loves company, they will try to destroy it. And you should take every ounce of energy, every ounce of power and authority that the Holy Spirit gives you and that we have through the blood of Christ to defend it at all costs. Even if it means defending it from your kids. Because the enemy will use them too. We call all ankle biters little terrorists. It's the truth. Because they don't know no better. At all costs, husbands, make sure your wives are nourished. At all costs, wives, make sure that your husband's hearts are protected. Make sure you are in unison. And even when you're not, ladies, please. God will rectify it. Believe me, He loves us. We've been beat with 2x4s by Him before. He will do it again. I've got the knots to prove it. And it's easy to see them. I'm bald now. Please, I implore you guys, anybody, everybody here, everybody sound of my voice. If there is anywhere that you are even off slightly on this, please ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to go in, show you so that repentance can happen, restoration can happen, and His power can flow through your relationships. For you single guys out there, I'm one of them, kinda, sorta, maybe. Single guys out there, this starts before you even get married. You should be doing this with the person you're dating. You should be guarding them and nourishing them. That means that, you know, we've got to keep our game up. We can't just be like, oh yeah, let's, you know, whatever. No. If you start leading, our founding pastor used to say that you'll be doing the job that you're meant for long before you get the job. Same thing with guys dating. You need to be doing these things long before you're in the position. Because if you're a true brother in Christ to the sisters that you're dating, sisters in Christ, I know that sounds kind of creepy, but it's the truth. Sisters in Christ that you're dating, if you truly are a brother, you will be doing that. You'll be protecting them anyway, even from yourself. And ladies, same thing. There are so many men in this world right now that don't want to date a woman because everything, whenever they show an inkling of who they are in their heart, it gets used against them as a weakness. Right now, we're looking at a generation that in no way ever wants to get married or procreate. Because they're over it. I can hang out with my friends and play video games and be happy. I don't need a woman to be happy. And that's because they've seen what other women have done, and they've also had their hearts destroyed by ungodly women. So women that are single, when you hear this, please. Make sure you are guarded. You are the type of woman who can be trusted with a man's heart. Because I want to see that number of 50% marriages end 50% of the time. I want them to put a little asterisk and go, except for the church, 100% of the time the marriages last. I want to see that change. I want it so much to change that people have to go, well, wait, what's the church doing now? Like, because honestly, that kind of number change, that kind of flip, you want to see people coming into your churches because they want what you got. A big thing most people want is a marriage that is working, that is doing what it's supposed to do. Not this happy wife, happy life, or happy spouse, happy house. No. How about proud God, joyous house? Because when he's proud of what you're doing in his name, then everything else in the house will be good. Doesn't mean you won't have battles. Doesn't mean you won't have monkey wrenches thrown. Doesn't mean curveballs won't be thrown. But it'll be easily deflected when you are focused on God and he is proud of what you are doing in the house. So I implore you, let's hold this standard, because the nuclear family, the standard of men and women working together and living together in marriage the way it's supposed, that is one of the greatest legacies of the Father. The greatest legacy for the world to see. The building means nothing. Our houses we live in mean nothing. It is the union under God of husband and wife and family. That is the legacy. That is what is important. That is what means something. So again, in closing, I encourage you all to stand strong. Let the world not destroy you through their lies. But you would be on the lookout. And I pray that you work together with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to continue this legacy that he started back in the Garden of Eden when he made man and wife. This is one of the first things he did. Not the first, but one of. It's that important. And that's what I leave you with. So from a person who has seen what happens when destruction befalls a marriage, please heed the warnings and do what God would have you do. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you, Lord. I pray now for the families here in Refiners Church. I pray for the families that may be listening to this from the internet. I pray that Lord, again, you would open up their hearts, that you would expose the things that need to be exposed, that they would repent of it all, that they would eradicate it, remove it, and destroy it so that as if it was never there, and allow your Holy Spirit to bring any healing that needs to come. Not only between husband and wife, but between parents and children. That Father God, that your love would spread. Nothing that man does cannot be fixed by you, Lord. Nothing that has been destroyed cannot be resurrected by you, Lord. And we thank you for that very fact. God, have your way. And everybody that has heard this message, encourage, lift up, edify, strengthen, so that the men can be exactly what you originally created us to be, and the women can as well. Because not only the kingdom needs that, but the world needs to see it. Thank you, Lord, in everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.